Harry will continue his series revealing the Old Testament characters when he returns. Our title for today's sermon or message or sharing is called How Firm Is Your Foundation? Does anybody remember what it was a couple of weeks ago when I spoke? Why do we do what we do? So if you want to know why you do what you do, maybe it has something to do with your foundation. How many of you have a fear of heights? You can raise your hand. It's okay. I do. I have a fear of heights. Do you shake when you climb a ladder? Do you go up the ladder and the higher you get, you hug it closer and closer? I do. I like to tell people I don't have a fear of heights. I have a healthy respect of heights. Several of you know I took flying lessons years ago, and it's kind of weird. If I'm not attached to the ground, I don't have a problem. But if I'm attached to the ground, I could fall. And so if I go to the top of a building, I mean, a lot of you probably just walk right over and just look down. I cannot do that. I can kind of do this number just like, Oh, there we go. Wow. That's a long way down. I remember I was in Chicago for a training class years ago, and I was up in the Sears and Roebuck Tower. And evidently they had refurbed the building, and they, you know, these big boom cranes, you know, that they build them in the elevator shaft. I don't know if you know that. And then when the building's done, somehow they have to get the parts of the crane out. Do you know how they do that? They use one of these big sky crane helicopters. And they fly it over, and it lowers down a cable, and they deattach one section of the elevator, and he lifts it straight up out of the shell, and then he took it over, and there was a parking lot that they had blocked off, and he landed and would set the piece down. They'd take it off, put it on a tractor trailer, then he'd fly back over. I was high enough in the tower, I was looking down through the props on the sky crane elevator. That was cool. But even in that building, when I got to the edge, it was like one of these, yeah, okay. Anybody afraid of glass elevators? I'm kind of okay with glass elevators. When they have glass floors, it's a little bit different, you know, but glass elevators. A couple of weeks ago, someone sent me this email story. You may have seen it or heard it, or maybe it came across your email as well. A wife was out working, and she came home to find her husband sitting on the couch watching TV. None of you wives punch your husbands. And she just looked at him and said, well, what have you done today? He kind of looked up at her and says, well, I changed a light bulb. One light bulb. Below the story was a little link you were supposed to click on, and if you clicked on the link, it took you to watch a video. Any of y'all see this? So the video was a narrative, and it was taken by a quadcopter drone. You've seen those little quadcopter drones with a high-resolution camera on it. And this drone flies up, and here's this massive 1,500-foot TV antenna, broadcast antenna. The drone starts at the bottom, and it starts going up the antenna, and you can see the vast land behind it. And you get about 500 feet, or up to about 1,000 feet, and you see this guy climbing. Now, most of you, hopefully you know this, those they're made in triangles, right? If you look at them, they're made in a triangle, to be straight. And then they have all these guide wires that come. This is 1,500 feet, not like a 500-foot tower, 1,500-foot tower. This guy's just like climbing up the outside of it. You know, he's got a little safety thing. He clicks it on, climbs up, unhooks the next one, clicks it on. First off, you ain't never going to find me on a 1,500-foot tower. I'm going to tell you right now, my healthy respect for heights, I'm not going to get there. But he climbs all the way to the top. He gets up to the top, and at the top of the tower are these masts that go horizontal. He starts climbing up those. Now you don't even have that little triangle shell thing. And he gets all the way to the top, and he hooks on, and he gets up there, and he opens up the top of it, and he takes the light bulb out, and he puts another light bulb in. And then while he's hooked into his harness, standing on the mast, he leans back. There's nothing but 1,500 feet up in the air. Leans back, takes his phone up, and takes a selfie. Great video. If you haven't seen it, it's worth seeing it. You ain't never going to find me on top of one of those towers. I'm too afraid that, given my size, one of those guide wires ain't strong enough to keep that thing upright when I get up to the top of it. But he has no fear of that height, or probably the fear of falling. It's a great video. You'd never find me there. I like to say I have too much respect for heights, but more importantly, I have a great understanding of gravity. And it's not the fall that kills you, it's the sudden stop at the bottom, if you've never heard that before. Natural protruding places of high ground have always been used as a place of strength. On our trip last year to Scotland, we visited a couple of castles. And the castles were always located on top of a hill or the highest point in the area, and they were done in such a way to project power over a certain area for protection. One we saw was at the headwaters of a little river or stream that came into the ocean. The other was on a hilltop, Edinburgh Castle, which I know Hugh's probably been to several times, Edinburgh Castle, up on top of a hilltop that they built a city around. So high places have always been used as a place for protection, a good foundation to build a community around that. The strength of those foundations are the obstacles that lead into the key to the longevity of how long that castle will be there. So think about this. We're seeing castles that were built, what, 1,200, 1,400, 1,600, still standing today, some still inhabited. Likewise, things like mountains provide a natural barrier. Not only does height play a role in the building of structures and places to project protection or power, they also come into play in hand-to-hand combat. You ever heard the term holding the high ground? You ever watch military channels? You're holding the high ground. Why? Because it's hard to fight uphill. It's easy to fight somebody coming up to you. So you always want to hold the high ground. If you hold the high ground, you can control what's moving in the valley below, as well as you can protect or provide protection to those below you. Did any of you all ever fence? I never fenced. But have you ever seen Sword Plays movies? One of my favorite movies. You hate to have a senior moment? I have them. Princess Bride. Have you seen The Princess Bride? And they're fencing and everything, and one guy talks to the other guy and says, "You have to yield, because I have the high ground." And the guy kind of jumps a flip and goes up over him, which he can't really do, but he did in the movie, right? Jumps a flip, and then he's up on top of the high ground. So high ground kind of plays a role not only in the building of castles and protection areas, but also in the areas of just hand-to-hand combat. That being said, whenever somebody talks about foundations and the obstacles around building foundations or the obstacles they provide, we so often immediately jump to the concept of things like, if I say foundation, what do you think of? Bridges, roadways, high rises. We think structural. We tend to go thinking about structural. But building a foundation is a multi-step process. You just don't go in and quickly build it. Anybody watch the way they do roads around here? I wonder forever why it takes so long to do roads. It has something to do with putting the earth down, packing it, and letting it settle. Then coming back and building on top, letting it settle. If you watch them build high rises, what do? They dig real deep down in the earth. They put in pillars to hold the building to, right? They put rebar in, pour concrete, they build these legs, and then they start building on top of that. That's the foundational element that they get there. One of the most notable and photographed bridges in the world is the, anybody know? Golden Gate Bridge. Absolutely. You knew I was going to go to the Golden Gate as soon as I said bridges. The bridge opened in 1937 and was the longest suspension bridge in the world at 4,200 feet until it was exceeded in 1964 by another bridge. Construction began in January of 1933 and was completed ahead of schedule and under budget. We don't kind of hear that anymore, do we? Ahead of schedule and under budget. The bridge contains approximately 1.2 million steel rivets. The entire roadway is suspended on two cables. They're anchored in concrete at either end, and they pass through the tops of two sets of towers that are 746 feet high. Each cable is 36.5 inches in diameter. 36.5 inches in diameter. And each cable contains 27,572 individual wires. Individual wires. That's enough wire in one cable to go around the earth 3.2 times. It's 80,000 miles of wire in each cable. 160,000 miles. Or if you want to look at it, if you put both cables together, you can go 2/3 of the way to the moon from the earth. The structure of that cable begins with a single wire. And in building all of those wires together, the strength of all the wires provide the foundation upon which that entire bridge hangs. The roadway, the pavement, the sidewalk, the people, the vehicles. But it's not just sustaining the weight of everything. What else happens in San Francisco? Wind, rain, It withstands all of that. And what happens to that road surface when the wind starts blowing? It's wanting to move. It shifts. Not to mention the earthquakes. I mean, someday California's going to be gone anyway, but until then, the earthquakes, right? So think about that. All of that hangs on a single little wire, wrapped in a bundle, suspended over 746 tall towers to carry that bridge 4,200 feet across that strait. It's amazing to me. If you ever watch the heavy machines on Discovery Channel or How It's Made or something, fascinating shows. I get hooked on those things and I'll lose a day. Now, if volcanoes come on, I lose my wife for a day. But me, it's all about how these ships and things are made. Strong foundations consist of multiple stages, just like the individual wires in the suspension cable. This is true not only of structural foundations, but also for our own foundation, our own core being. We all know we are strengthened by obstacles that we face each and every day. Many times we don't even realize the strengthening until years later. Haven't you always heard the old phrase, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger? I heard that a lot growing up. We struggle through that time, but it's our foundation that gets us through that time that later in our lives we look back and we say, I'm stronger because of that. Or I can share with someone else. Or I can relate to someone else because of that. We need the same strengthening spiritually. We need the same focused activities. We need the same resolve to accomplish the same strong foundation. It is only through these activities that we achieve a strong spiritual foundation. Now, what types of activities am I talking about? Where's the guidebook to becoming spiritually grounded? I mean, there are plenty of books available to help us become physically fit. Not that I read any of them. Both from a diet and a workout perspective. But where's the book that tells us all the little things to do to become spiritually solid and fit? Many will say it's this book, the Bible. And they're partially correct. It is this book. But there are many other activities we can do to strengthen our spiritual core. Activities such as Bible reading. Monthly, daily, weekly, hourly. Yes, reading through the Bible, we are continually recharged, we're recharging our spiritual resolve and strengthening our spiritual resolve. Many times God uses specific verses to speak out to us about things happening in our life and provides guidance on dealing with those obstacles. However, just reading to read and meet a daily requirement is not going to cut the mustard. We need to read with a resolve to understand and comprehend. When I was growing up, many times in youth, it was all about being challenged to read the Bible every day and read the Bible, you know, through in a year. Anybody remember doing those objectives? Great things. But, you know, I guess just so you know what I'm talking about, doing this, you had to hear the word of the Lord, O come, you women, let your ears receive the word of his mouth and teach your daughters wailing and every one of her neighbors the lamentations. I read for today. That's not what I'm talking about. It's reading so that we can have a resolve to understand and comprehend. Hand in hand with Bible reading, Bible study. Actually studying the Bible. Reflecting not only on the words of a given passage, but their deeper meaning. Looking for ways that it can be applied to our life, this moment. If you are only coming here once a week to receive this type of introspection of the Scriptures, you are leaving, you are losing your spiritual foundation. You are leaving it vulnerable to attacks from all directions the other 167 hours of the week. You hear what I'm saying? If you're expecting to only get it here on Sunday morning in 1 hour, you're leaving yourself vulnerable the rest of the week. Your spiritual foundation will be shaken and tried and tested. Bible study. Prayer time. What better way to strengthen your spiritual foundation than communion with the Father? Not just talking to Him and thanking Him for all He's provided and asking for His assistance, but also listening to His voice as He communes with you. The word pray is mentioned 508 times in the Bible. It's mentioned twice as many times in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. Perhaps there's a lesson here. Perhaps God's chosen people in the Old Testament understood praying meant more. Praying is not a one-way communication. Praying is a two-way communication. Many times, you have to listen to hear. Fellowship, the activity of fellowship. How better to strengthen one's spiritual foundation than to spend time with those of like mind and spiritual goals? Sharing experiences, knowledge, understanding, and the love of God for each other. Growing up, we all heard from our parents, don't get mixed up in the wrong crowd. That exists as well into our spiritual well-being. For our church here, one of the many ways we have structured fellowship is the Sunday lunch groups. I'm a huge fan of the Sunday lunch groups. This is an excellent example of strengthening our resolve against the evil one. Now, I know some of you may be saying, those lunch groups, not necessarily spiritual, RB. We just kind of get together and have fun, and we visit, and we tell stories on each other. That's still strengthening your spiritual resolve. You're still with God's people. And in being with God's people, you're strengthening your foundation. So it's not always to be together and sit and study and be in prayer. Fellowship is okay. It's okay to have fun. Amen? We don't have to be staunch, frozen, chosen. Right? It's okay to be Baptist a little bit, you know, and have some food and have fellowship. I had to throw that in there, being Baptist. We always have food when we have fellowship. Self-evaluation and self-correction. Taking the time out of your busy life to evaluate your current spiritual foundation. Re-evaluating decisions made during the day or comments made to others. It is through self-awareness that we strengthen our resolve to do better, to be better. This does not replace proper correction by our brothers and sisters in Christ. The hope is that through this self-evaluation, we need less correction by our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lastly, reconciliation, forgiveness. We strengthen our spiritual foundation through reconciliation with God over the actions in our life. Our self-evaluation helps us in defining areas of reconciliation. Almost every Sunday in our service here, we provide a specific time to seek reconciliation and ask God's forgiveness. Once again, if you are only relying on this single time each week to reconcile with God, then I dare say you are taking several steps backward to one step forward. Also, forgiveness is not only to be asked of God, but also of each other. It is through the process of asking for someone's forgiveness that we open ourselves up to receive their forgiveness. If we are not willing to ask, and yet they forgive us anyway, then have we truly strengthened our spiritual foundation? There's a subtle difference there. I want to say it again. If we have not asked for forgiveness, and yet they give it to us anyway, what have we learned? We have not strengthened our spiritual foundation. This short list of activities, Bible reading, Bible study, prayer, fellowship, self-correction and self-evaluation, reconciliation, and forgiveness, is not inclusive or by no means exhaustive. It is a starting point for strengthening your spiritual foundation. Oh, were I to have the spiritual foundation of Job. His foundation was so strong that it weathered almost everything the devil threw at him. He lost everything. Money, wealth, family, friends. His health declined. His closest friends were telling him, curse God and get it over. Yet Job held the spiritual result because of his foundation. Job must have had a spiritual foundation that rivaled the strength of the suspension cables of the Golden Gate Bridge. Oh, were I to have the spiritual foundation of Job. May we all seek to build our spiritual foundation to that level. Amen? Let's pray. Father, it is so easy for us to just give up. It is so easy for us to say we're weak, we can't do anymore, and just to give in to the evil one. It takes discipline to do any of these activities. And it takes continual discipline to do them well. We all say we want a stronger spiritual foundation, but are we willing to commit to the activities that give us that foundation? Were we all like Job, we could easily withstand anything this world throws at us. May each of us take a commitment this morning and a resolve to strengthen our spiritual foundation. For it is through that foundation, Father, that we not only become better Christians and better examples, but we become closer to you. It's a simple lesson, but a difficult task. May we have the discipline to accomplish it. For we ask these things in your name. Amen.